save his people. Amen. We were talking earlier, Pastor was exhorting to us that there are no other gods, and he mentioned Buddha, and I'll just share this with you, that Buddha once said to his followers, seek for the truth. Let that sink in. That tells me that Buddha didn't have the truth. Muhammad said, I don't know the purpose of life. And Confucius said, I am not the way. But thank God there was a man that stepped onto the pages of time and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He gives us purpose and he gives us a will to live. He is the purpose of life. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I appreciate him for that this morning. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 7. We'll read a portion of scripture here, get into the word of the Lord, and appreciate what the Lord has done for us already in this service this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I want to say how much I appreciate your pastor and your associate pastor, the way, and I think I mentioned it to Brother Cook. I'm so thankful for the way that the fluidity, if you will, of the relationship between pastor and associate pastor. And it's wonderful to see how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it's all because of the anointing. And I'm thankful for that this morning. So wonderful to meet many of you, the elders of the church, and to meet your former senior pastor, Brother Glenn Jones. We honor you this morning and appreciate your work in this ministry. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and we'll start reading at verse number 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. And here's my text this morning. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. They came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He took a stone and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I want to talk to us for just a few moments this morning on a simple thought, between a rock and a hard place. Between a rock and a hard place. God, would you help us this morning? Lord, would you minister to this congregation? Holy Ghost, you knew who would be in this sanctuary today. And I pray, Lord, as we walk away from this altar service, that we will have erected a stone, Lord, in remembrance of what you have done. Maybe there's someone that needs to go back and remember what you have done for them and realize that only by the help and the grace of God, we are what we are, and we're here, Lord, because of your grace. And we'll thank you for it and give you the glory in Jesus' name. And Abundant Life said, amen. Amen. hitherto hath the Lord helped us. There was a man in 1726. He was born, died in 1791. His name was Robert Robinson. In his early teens, he lived in the city of London, mixing with the gangs and leading a life of alcohol and crime. But at the age of 17, he attended a meeting where the great George Whitefield was preaching. And he went there for the sole purpose to scoff the preaching of the Word of God and to mock Brother George Whitefield. And what happened, he ended up going to the altar, to the mourner's bench, and giving his heart and his life to God. Later on, became a pastor in a church in Cambridge, England. And it was at the age of 23 that he wrote the old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Praise." Amen. A few years later, through the course of life, the cares of life, different things taking place, he walked away from God, walked away from the ministry, walked away from his church. One day as he was riding in a stagecoach, there was a lady sitting across from him, and she said, "Sir, won't you tell me what you think about the lyrics to this song that I've been reading?" And he said, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about those kinds of things. I don't live like that anymore." He tried to change the subject, but she was persistent. And she said the first words to that verse are these words: "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise." He said, "Madam, you don't understand. I am the poor and unhappy soul that wrote that hymn so many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings of salvation again." And gently she stretched her hand out to him and said, "Sir, the streams of mercy never ceasing are still flowing to you in this very hour." Hallelujah. And I believe this morning that the streams of mercy are flowing in this house this morning. Amen. The second verse of that old hymn, it says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." Hallelujah. And we can look back and say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, we can look back and say that I've only made it this far by the grace of God. I've only made it this far because God was faithful in my time of need. Amen. The Bible says that the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together, and they came up against them. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us." And I dare say this morning that many, many years of faithfulness of our former senior pastor, Brother Glenn Jones, times when the church would ring his phone off the hook and he would be faithful to call on the name of the Lord for somebody in the church that needed help. I'm thankful that I have a pastor that I can call when I need help. And now, Brother Jones, Brother Derek Jones, as the pastor of this church, no doubt when you pick up the phone and call him with confidence, you can know that he will find a place and he will hear from God. That's what happened here with these Philistines and with these Israelites. They cried unto Samuel. The Israelites cried unto the man of God. And the Bible says the man of God made a sacrifice. I'm thankful this morning for a pastor that will sacrifice for the people of God, that will sacrifice to see their needs met. But the Bible says that Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. But even while Samuel was sacrificing, even while Samuel was praying, even while Samuel was making supplication for the people of God, here comes the enemy to try to attack God's people. And you can mark it down for friend, the moment that you start calling on God, the moment you start moving in the right direction, the enemy is going to step up his attack on your life to try to discourage you from the will of God, to try to keep you from the plan of God. But we read in the next verse, the Bible says that the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. I can tell you, when the man of God is praying, when the church is desperate for help, when somebody's in a dire need, God will pull out all the stops and do what it takes to stand up for his people, and he will come through every time. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Lord thundered with a great thunder, and the Philistines were discomfited. They were a little bit uncomfortable, Brother Austin. Now, I remember I was in a wheelchair for about 3 months, felt helpless. My goodness, I felt helpless, 30 years old. And just weeks before that, I had been slinging pipe and going up in a scissor lift and picking up stuff and doing things and running here and running there. And now it seems like I'm tied to this wheelchair. I can't do anything without somebody else helping me. And I was thankful for those. I was so thankful for my wife that was there, my children that were there to help. But a lot of times, getting in and out of the vehicle, and my wife would have to fold up the wheelchair and throw it in the back of the car. And there was some times she'd come back to the car after loading up the wheelchair. Ah, I broke a fingernail. Oh yeah, sometimes that's uncomfortable, isn't it, ladies? It's a little bit of discomfort. I can tell you, I had an external fixation bar, two bars that came together from my hips. And they had these pins that were screwed into my hip bones to keep my hips in place until my pelvis could heal correctly. And I went into the doctor's office at the end of that tenure, if you will, and he said, "Would you like to get those bars off of your hips?" I said, "Yes, sir. What are you going to do for me?" He said, "I'll be right back." And he came back in. He didn't have a needle with anesthesia. He didn't have any kind of morphine to offer. All he had was a couple of hand tools. Amen. And he latched a hold of those pins, Brother Ryan, and he began to turn by hand. Those threads were about this deep in my hip bones. And let me tell you, I experienced a little bit of discomfort, if you will. But I can tell you that there is no discomfort like what the enemy knows when the devil is hot on your trail and you make a direct line connection to the throne room of God. And God steps in and he intervenes. And we look at Job and we see all that Job went through. And God said, "You can take everything that he owns, but don't touch his life." Why? Because there was a hedge. I said, there was a hedge around Job. Job said, I've got to trust in God. I look in front of me and behind me. I look to the right and to the left and I can't see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. And you know what Job said? He said, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'll trust God to the very end." Why? Because hitherto, all up to this point, God has helped us. God has been faithful. How many of you can raise your hand and say, "God's been faithful all the way up till now"? And if he's been faithful this far, friend, he's not going to quit us. I said he's not going to quit us. And somebody, I pray, can walk away from this sanctuary this morning and say, right there, on March the 17th, I erected a stone and realize that God was the only reason why I made it. He was the only one who can make the difference in my life. Hallelujah. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. We read about thunder in Scripture. On the top of Mount Sinai, as God is speaking to the people, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's fire, the mountain is quaking with the presence of an almighty God. The people were frightened. The people were scared. They said, "Moses, you go talk to God. You go, we're afraid of him. You go speak with him." And the Bible says that there was thunderings on the top of that mountain as God spoke with Moses. But then we can also see As Jesus steps onto the muddy banks of the Jordan River, as he goes down into that water and is baptized in water to fulfill the scripture, to fulfill the call that was placed upon his life. And the Bible says as he came up out of that water, there was a dove that descended upon him. And the prophecy was, he that you see the dove descend upon and remain on him, he's the one, he's the Messiah. And the Bible says there was a voice that came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There were some that heard the words, and the Bible says that some said it sounded like thunder and it was the voice of God speaking. But as we look in this text this morning, I don't feel like that this was quite the same as God just speaking from heaven, declaring his laws or putting his blessing upon his son. But I believe that the thunder that God brought upon the Philistines was a certain type of anger, because somebody had come against his children. And those of you this morning that have got kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If somebody was to mess with them kids, it wouldn't matter if I was on crutches, friend. I'm going to take care of business. Why? Because those are my children. And I want to talk to Abundant Life here this morning and let you know, when the devil's hot on your trail, there's a heavenly father, and he loves you, and he'll stand up for you every time. For the children of Israel, he came down in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud and stood in between the Egyptians and the Israelites all night long. Friend, let me help you understand. It might feel like midnight right now, but realize the devil's in the dark. I said the devil's in the dark, and God knows what he's doing. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Woo! The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. And they raised up a stone. And they said, right here, we're going to leave a landmark right here. The children of Israel went down into that river of Jordan. The priest stood in that river, and that river stopped. The rest of the water flowed down. The children of Israel were able to cross that river. And the commandment was, each tribe, take a stone. You're going to put one stone up on the bank, and you're going to put another stone down in the river. And what happened when that river started flowing again? You couldn't see the landmarks. You couldn't see those monuments, if you will. And I dare say there's some of us here this morning, we can look around and we can see landmarks in each other's lives. But there's some landmarks that maybe you're not so proud of what God brought you out of. Maybe you're not so pleased that everybody would know what God delivered you from. But friend, every once in a while, we need to go back and revisit those landmarks. He said, what mean ye thee by these stones? He said, the Lord helped us right here. God moved for us right here. And I want to tell Abundant Life this morning, you can raise a stone right here at this altar and say, right here is where God ministered. Right here is where God moved, as only God could do. Right here, God put my marriage back together. Right here, God provided. Right here, God stood up on my behalf. And it'll always be for the glory of God and for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I want to share a little bit with you this morning where this message was born into my heart. Laying flat on my back in a hospital bed, drugged up on all kinds of pain medication. My wife sitting there in the chair next to the bed. She slept for a week and a half in that chair. Never left my side. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I said, I'm thankful for that this morning. But there were times it didn't feel like, Brother Jones, that anybody cared. There were times it felt, yeah, I thought I was dying. It's just a pelvis, no big deal. I just put a bone right through the bottom, had a hole in the bottom of my foot. No big deal, not really life-threatening necessarily. But my friend, when you come to that place where that mountain is standing right in front of you, that's all you can see is the mountain that's standing right in front of you. It's in full view. It's trying to bring a spirit of fear to your heart. And as the devil tried to attack my mind and try to tell me this is going to happen and that is going to happen, friend, I woke up after the first surgery on my ankle. It was about 1:30 in the morning. The pain was so great. It didn't matter what they offered to me. It did not even touch the pain that was taking place. A calcaneous fracture in my left ankle broke the heel bone, snapped it off. It was in about 10 or 12 pieces. And my leg bone went down through the bottom of my foot, creating a large hole. I'm still fighting infection right now, but my faith and my trust is in Almighty God. I said my faith and my trust is in that stone that I erected, friend. I erected a stone on July the 11th after that surgery. My God, I remember what it was like. I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. I heard my wife in that chair whimpering and crying and praying, God, please have mercy. God, please take the pain. It got so great a few times, I would literally just holler out, does anybody care? Oh God, does anybody care how much pain I'm in? But I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost began to sing through this vessel right here. Oh God, I love to sing, friend. I said, it's in my heart, it's in my spirit, it's in my DNA. I love to sing. But as the Holy Ghost started singing through me, I began to sing some hymns for about an hour and a half, praying and singing, singing songs like, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Songs like, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I sang the song, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. Friend, at the lowest point in my life, on that night with pain that I cannot describe with words, I begin to sing, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. My God, he'll never fail his people. I said he'll never fail you if you put your trust in him, if you'll cast that anchor behind the veil. Let Jesus be your anchor this morning and realize that we're here by the help of God. A mighty fortress is our God. Oh God, I'm thankful for the times I can look back and see what God has done. And it's not just in the physical, Brother Jones, but it's in the supernatural, the things that God does for us that we have absolutely no control over. Things that we cannot do to change the situation, but God can do it. I said, God can do it. He'll thunder with a great thunder because of his children standing in need. Oh God, I believe it this morning. If they'll come to the music here, if you'll stand with me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's pray here for just a moment. There's somebody, you're here this morning. You need to get an experience with God where you can look back and say it was right there on Sunday morning, March the 17th. Didn't have anything to do with the evangelist. Didn't have anything to do with anybody that was here at the church. But it was between you and God. For you see, when Jacob saw the ladder in his dream and when he woke up and he felt the presence of God, what did he do? He set up a stone. And he poured oil on it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, the house of God. Do you know where you are this morning? You're in the house of God. But that wasn't the end of Jacob's experience. For you see, he comes back to that place. And he experiences the presence of God one more time. And he renames that place El Bethel. Not only did he find the house of God, but now He's made a connection with the God of the house. And there's some of you, you are connected to this church. You are connected. You're in the flow. You're operating. You're doing. You're serving. You're working in this local body. But God wants to erect a monument in your life this morning. No doubt some of these young folks, I know Sister Leah and Brother Ryan, set up a milestone this weekend, and I'm thankful for that. But as Brother Shane told us from the very beginning of the meeting, it's wonderful to look and see somebody else get help, but God is here to help you. I said, God is here to minister to you. God is here to lift you up. He's here to fight your battles on your behalf if you'll stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Could we bow our heads this morning, Father? In the name of Jesus, we have obeyed you to the best of our ability here this morning in this message. And now, Lord, we leave the results of this altar service in your hand and in the hand of your Spirit. God, would you move this morning on every heart? Would you touch every life that's here in the name of Jesus? And we pray that you will receive the glory and all the honor and all the praise for what is done here today, what is said, what is performed. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, and we give you the glory. Now there's somebody that needs to step out. We're not wanting to embarrass anybody, but if you feel like you would like to step out and say, either number one, I need to erect a monument for what God has done in my life so that I will never forget this experience. Or number two, maybe you need to go back and revisit. And Isaiah said, drawing again from the wells of salvation. Somebody needs to go back and remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has brought you out of. Remember the things, the times that God spared your life. Remember the things that God has spared your marriage from, has spared your kids from. Is there anybody here this morning? We've got one. Oh God, would you like to come and worship at the Stone of Ebenezer and remember what God has done for you? Won't you come and meet me in this altar this morning? Everyone that will. And let's thank our God for what he has done. He has been faithful to us. He has moved as only he can move. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.